Welcome to the Science Update Podcast. I'm Bob Hirshon, and this is the podcast for February 23rd, 2007. This week, we're going to bring you some fascinating stories from the annual meeting of our organization, the American Association for the Advancement of Science. Scientists from around the world gathered in San Francisco to share their latest research and discuss the implications for society. First, for people who have never experienced it, drug addiction may seem like a foreign state of mind. But a researcher presenting at the meeting said addiction may be more familiar than people realize. Chelsea Wald's here with a story.
If you want to know what it's like to be addicted to cocaine, you might imagine being really, really hungry. That's according to neuroscientist Nora Volkov, director of the National Institute on Drug Abuse. She found that the brains of cocaine addicts release the pleasure chemical dopamine when exposed to drug cues, like images of people using drugs or drug paraphernalia. She says that's the same thing that happens in the brains of food-deprived people exposed to food cues.
What drugs are doing are taking advantage of circuits that are there for very specific purpose. The circuits that get tapped by drugs are those circuits that are there in order for us to survive as individuals, those circuits that will ensure that we will do behaviors that are indispensable, such as eating.
And she says that's why addicts can't resist the urge to get high any more than a starving person could resist the urge to eat.
Thanks, Chelsea. A new kind of therapy may fight viruses and other causes of disease by silencing their genes. The key ingredient is small interfering RNA, a molecule that can block specific genes from making proteins. Judy Lieberman of Harvard Medical School said such drugs would have broad potential.
Since the machinery for RNA interference exists in all cells, this natural pathway can be used to silence any gene that might be involved in disease.
In animal studies, Lieberman's team found a way to get interfering RNA into infected cells without affecting healthy cells. Now, she and her colleagues are working on RNA therapies for a respiratory virus, pandemic flu, and even high cholesterol. Next, Justin Warner tells us why the best math students choke on exams.
The best math students are also the most susceptible to choking under pressure. This according to the work of University of Chicago psychologist Sian Bylock. Her team has found that top math students rely on their superior working memory to solve complex problems. But average students often fall back on less accurate shortcuts like estimation.
Under pressure, however, our higher working memory individuals didn't continue with the complex algorithm. They actually switched to the shortcut. So their performance looked like the low working memory individuals under pressure, and now we have some idea why this is the case.
Yet the pressure didn't affect either group's ability to use the shortcuts. This and other evidence suggests that pressure specifically sabotages working memory, the very thing that separates highly skilled math students from their peers.
And to the extent that pressure impacts the best and the brightest and brings them down to a level of those who are less likely to perform optimally, essentially what we're showing is the pressure situation is reducing the diagnostic ability of the test. So I think it really gives reason to take pause in terms of just using numbers as a way to diagnose whether a student's going to succeed at the next level.
Instead, Bylock suggests that institutions judge candidates on as much information as possible, especially their performance in less intense situations.
Thanks, Justin. New research shows that a class of common pollutants causes lab animals to gain weight, raising questions about whether they're contributing to growing obesity rates in people. The pollutants are organotins, and they're used in plastics, wood preservatives, fungicides, and other products. In several experiments, biologist Bruce Blumberg of the University of California, Irvine, has found the chemicals cause weight gain in mice and frogs.
Obesity is an extremely complex disorder, and there are many factors. So there are factors related to the genetics of the individual involved. There are factors related to environment, from chemicals, exposure, to the amount of exercise, to the kind of diet that people have. So there are many, many factors that are involved. But this is one risk factor which we haven't heard much about yet.
He says more data is needed to find out just how big a risk these and similar pollutants might present. Finally, an economist at the meeting reported that in America, all immigrants are not given equal opportunities, at least when it comes to their wages. Chelsea has this story.
New immigrants face lower wages if they're darker skinned and shorter than other immigrants. That's according to new research by economist Joni Hirsch of Vanderbilt University. She compared data on over 2,000 legal immigrants from the New Immigrant Survey and found a difference in wages even after ruling out everything but height and color, including education, profession, birth country, and race.
If you take two immigrants that are otherwise the same, where the only difference between them is their skin color, the darker skinned person will earn 8 to 15% less than the lighter skin. The one who is 1 inch taller than the other will earn 1% higher wages.
She says color biases and height advantages have been found among other groups, but the color bias that new immigrants face is particularly strong.
Thanks, Chelsea. And thanks to David Schwan and G. Schwan of San Jose, California, Mae Markaida of San Francisco, Sarah Thaler of Sunnyvale, California, and all the other folks who stopped by and said hi and claimed their free mugs at AAAS Family Science Days. We love meeting with you, and we'll start working on answering your science questions right away. If you're sorry you missed all the excitement, consider coming next year when the meeting's in Boston from February 14th to the 18th. And if you'd like to learn more about what happened at this year's meeting, check out news.aaas.org. That's news.aaas.org. And please visit scienceupdate.com to submit your science question and learn about our new daily podcast feed. Well, that's all for this week. Next time, we'll talk about some super bright white beetles and how they might improve lighting technology. And we'll answer a listener's question about the brain. Thanks for listening. I'm Bob Hirshon for AAAS, the Science Society.